Okay, you cool with that? I think can you hear? For the love, he can too. He can too.
Let me move it in a little closer.
Right there.
Right there.
Okay, great. Great.
Everybody talks from their throat.
Okay, great. Is that better? Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know, I am so thrilled to be here. I really am. I love coming home, and I need to tell some of you I didn't leave mad. I just want to get that off the table. I have been going to Northfield just because Mom and Dad are in the hearth now, and I've been taking Dad's medicine on Sunday morning, running to church, going back, getting laundry, whatever. But as they increase in Mom's dementia is kind of picking up a little bit, and she didn't even, I think that we were concentrating so much on Daddy that I missed hers, and that happens. And you know, I think sometimes we all live for a good case of guilt. I know I do. It's one of my favorite pastimes, I think. But anyway, I just want to share with you, I am so not qualified to even speak to people who have dealt with this for 20 years. I am in my second year of this, and I, by the grace of God, have not just lost my mind, contrary to popular belief. It's hard. It's hard. But I wanted to pretend it wasn't happening. I wanted to pretend that we all have those hiccups. Until one night, Daddy got out of the house and began walking along the riverbank during the night. And that, up until that point, I had been claws to the pavement with my sister Tanya because she felt like they needed to be advancing someplace else, that it was just too dangerous. And the house was big, and a five-bedroom house, a guest house with two bedrooms, a basement full, a garage full, a guest house full of Victorian antiques. They were dealers, and I called them high-end hoarders. But there was so much involved with it as that happened that week we had to make some changes because it happened again. And Daddy got out, and he was going to go get the cars out of the yard. And he always had a reason for doing what he was doing. And I wanted to be patient. I wanted to respect them. I just want to love them well. And so I had to start educating myself quickly. I have a boss who is just an angel. I mean, he has been so supportive. Chief Gary Goodwin is my boss. And Mom and Dad got in the car one night, and I had to have my officers stop them. And where they found them was at Mott Drive and Gallatin Road. And my mom was mortified. How many of y'all know my mom? Okay, she can be a little salty sometimes, and she poured it on. Things began to happen that, you just go, what in the world? Lord, what? Show me. I don't need those gentle nudges. I need you to talk to me. Jeff and I have a field out in the back of our house. It's about 5 or 6 acres, and that's my mountaintop. And when I've had all I can take, I think, I go to that mountaintop. And when I say I cry out to God, what is this about? What are we doing? How in the world can I glorify you with this? Because it's not working for me. It's not working. Tanya and I, Tyra, my older sister, lives out of town, and so it's been kind of Tanya and I And I've been their primary caregiver for a long time, and I am honored to accept that position. But it's tough. It's hard. For you that have gone through this or walking through this storm right now, it doesn't get any easier. I'm not going to blow any sunshine. It doesn't. It is painful to watch. And I'm not crying this morning. I'm not. Chris, hold me to it. I'm tired of crying. I'm sick to death of crying. But you cry because it hurts. It's painful to watch my daddy, who put the stars in the sky, forget who I am. I thought I wouldn't breathe again. And y'all know me well enough to know I try to laugh at every opportunity. And I was driving them to dinner one night, and Daddy wanted Mexican food. So we pull into the Mexican place, and my older sister, who's not here, has always been, she was the smart one, the good one, the pretty one, the DAR medalist, all that. I was a cheerleader. I had more fun than she did. But she's been the golden girl. And we pulled into the restaurant, and Daddy said, "Stop." I'm driving. I'm like, "What? What is it? What? He said, "We got to get to Lisa." And I felt like somebody had punched me in the gut. I guess I was hoping they'd forget her first. I said, "Daddy, I'm Talisa. I'm your favorite, remember?" And Mom said, "Why, Talisa Dawn?" And I said, "Well, I think it's true. I'm okay with it. Nobody's here to deny it, so I'm okay." But I've learned to plug in some of those happies along the way. Oops, sorry. Some of those happies. One of the biggest things I've learned is, first of all, I'm not in control. I'm a fixer. I'm a peacemaker. There's no fixing this. There is no fixing this. I know what the end of this story is. And so I can either jump on the boat or I can fight it, which will kill me before it does him. I have had a hard time explaining this to my family because my older sister doesn't want to think that this is as progressed as it is. She's not here all the time, so she doesn't know the days that I get 12, 15 phone calls a day. I can't find my car. They told me you took my car. Where are my keys? Somebody took my car. I saw my car downstairs and then somebody took it. No, you didn't. When Mom started progressing, she wanted to talk to me privately, so we did. She said to Lisa, "There's a lady here," and she went to church at Madison for a long time, forever, I guess, and she said, "Do you know what her children did? They sold her house and her car." Who would do that? I don't know, Mom. I've come to the conclusion that God's okay if I lie a little bit along this way. It is just, it's so much more peaceful that way. And that's part of what I've learned is wherever they go, wherever Daddy goes in his conversation, he's not going to remember what he had for breakfast, but he's going to remember making us waffles on Saturday morning. So when he looks at me, he may not know who I am, but if I walk up behind him and he hears my voice, he's not afraid anymore. That's remarkable to me. But I had to learn that because so many times I would come in and he would say, "You're Talisa, your favorite." Every time I would say that to him. There are two books, if any of y'all are going through this, that have just been a lifesaver for me. This one is The 36-Hour Day. And if any of you need it today, you can have this copy. It's everything. It really is. Other than my scripture, this has been so helpful. And it looks like a lot of reading, but not every chapter applies to me. Some apply to my sister. Some apply to my nieces and nephews. Some that live out of town. You know, what can you do if this is happening in your family in another state or another country or another whatever? It encourages you to do some things to help, because there's always something. There's always something. You know, I didn't know what I didn't know because Mom and Daddy never discussed finances with us. That's been a wow. That's been a wow. In reading this, I found out that you have got to be one step ahead, and you've got to be so in tune to God. And when you are so exhausted, you cannot feel from your neck down. You don't know how you're going to get up. You don't know. And people will look at you and go, "You look exhausted." Yeah, I am. My heart's heavy. My spirit's tired. I'm sad as an old hound dog. In cleaning out their house, I found a letter that I had written to Daddy when I was like 9. That he saved in a plastic bag. And I had to sit down and read it. And Tanya was like, "You got to get up. We got to get this stuff done." And she's slinging stuff. And her way wasn't right and my way wasn't wrong. I'm a crier. She's a yeller. But you got to do what you got to do to get through it, whatever that is. And you've got to, every day, you could get your feelings hurt, or you can walk on through it. There's a song that I hold on to a lot. It's called "I Can Walk Through This Fire Because You're Walking With Me." And it is, I think it's Jordan St. Cyr who sings it, and it's about his granddaddy who's dying of cancer. And I think of that often. I think of Mercy Me singing, "You're Almost Home. It won't be long. And I am just now where I can say that and mean it." Because I kept going, "Lord, turn it back. Roll it back. Do something." Dad had such a horrible childhood that I wanted him to finish big. And he's so sweet still. You remember all of y'all that have been here since Ira? He said, "We is what we is. The older we get, the izzer we become. We're all just getting izzer." That's my daddy. He is fiercely protective. He is good. He's a soldier. He is, he's been a wonderful provider. He's been kind, and he's getting izzer. He gets frustrated. He wants his car. That's what he knows. So I gave him some keys. They don't go to anything, but he's okay. He's got some keys in his pocket. Little things like that. I had to take his pocket knife. He wanted to take all of his guns to the hearth with him. Yeah, not so much. he wanted all of them. And I'm like, "Well, okay. I'll get on that, Daddy. Now you're going to take care of that?" "Yes, sir, I will. I certainly will." That could be interesting. He wanted all of his pocket knives. He collected pocket knives. Okay, I'll check on that for you. I will. One thing that I would encourage anybody to do is, even though it is not a Southern thing to do to talk finances, is to get in their finances. Because, oh my word. And then just because you know people to call, be careful who you call. A friend said to me, call me if you've got some questions. So I called because I had some questions. And then I got a bill. And I thought, oh, wow, didn't see that coming. But there are people, there are places to find this stuff. Social Security, selling the house, retirement, this, that, trying to put it into something in this world today that's safe enough to help pay $5,000 to $6,000 a month for care. And, you know, I'm sharing some really personal stuff with y'all here, but somebody's got to talk about it, or the rest of us are going to drown. And I really feel that way. Mom thinks because Daddy was in the military that all this is paid for and covered. And I'm not telling her any different. She wants all of her jewelry up there. She squirreled it into her purse when we got up there, and I found it one day. She'd put it in the trash can. Her good stuff. And, but you know, going along this way, and my mom loved jewelry better than anybody I've ever seen in my life, to a fault. I don't care. If any of y'all want it, I'd give it to you. It is stuff. And that is something that God kept putting on me, to Lisa. It's just stuff. Let it go. You know, I'd pick up a bowl that I knew was my grandmother's that we used to make apple jelly in at Willette. Let it go. You got it right here. It's all you need. It's all you need. I also learned that if I was going to love Mom and Dad well, and Daddy is more progressed than Mom is, Halloween Eve, Mom was doing great. She had on all of her black and white and her spider stuff and lipstick and earrings and just all kinds of dressed up. Sunday afternoon, I went to take them dinner, and she's in the floor, and I think she's dead. And she had a stroke-type event. It was an escalated dementia event. These things happen weekly. But you don't get over that walking in and seeing her there. And if any of you know my mom, she is a fashionista. She is together. She is a Southern Victorian woman. And her hair was done, but she had on clothes that were backwards, inside out, two layers deep. She would have been mortified over that alone, just knowing that somebody saw her like that when the caregivers were with me. Even in that exhaustion, God shows us mercy in some of the most incredible ways. One of that day, because it scared me to death. I to this day know what I know about this. I can't picture my life without my parents in it. And I'm so sorry for some of you who know that pain. I'm so sorry. I truly have decided, though. I didn't decide. God told me. This is the price of love. This hurts this bad because of love. And it helps me better understand God's love for me, because I've been a rascal. And he's still crazy about me. To have the parents that I have, and some of you have those parents, some of you have lost those parents. You have no regrets. You've loved them so well. You've done what you could, and that's all you can do. You have loved them well, and that's all I want to do for them. So I do. You give up other things. This is your life now. This is your life. I never want them to know fear where they are, and often they do. If you woke up in your bed and you looked at Mary and you had progressive dementia, and you looked at Mary and she's in bed with you, but you don't know her because you remember her from when y'all were 18. You can't help that. But it seems like if you turned out the lights, Mary, if you were dealing with that, you turn out the lights, they never forget the voice, and they always hear. So sometimes it's good. Like when I go to see Mom and Dad, I walk in beside Dad, and I whisper in his ear, "I love you. Have you had a good day?" But if I know you hadn't had a good day, don't go there. Just don't do it. I'll say, Daddy, Maisley's wanting to know where you are. He said, well, if you'll go get my car, I'll go see her. Okay, let's go down another street. which brings me to this book. I've used it a little bit. Creating Moments of Joy. And this can be with anybody. This can be with just elderly people. It's by Jolene Brackey. And there are so many things that have given me hope. I am not forgotten. Daddy might know me this morning. He may. You never know. It's a surprise party every day. I'm never forgotten, but he probably remembers me as a child better. He remembers me playing softball. Why did I do that? I don't even know. He remembers going to Valley View Camp, but he doesn't remember when my children were born. This book, if you look at the table of contents, will show you what applies to you. And I like that because it truly is a good recipe for some peace. I still don't have all that peace yet. I have it in Jesus. But sometimes if I'm mad, I'm mad. I'm mad. Why can't bad people get this? Daddy's been through enough garbage. Could he finish strong? Could he finish strong? And he does. He'll just say, I'm so confused. I'm just so confused. So then I'll start asking him about his grandchildren and his great-grands. He can tell you on a dime about his 16 girls and 5 boys. And Jackie Benton used to always, every time he would see her, he knew her voice, so when she turned around, he would back up, and I saw that then. But he would start, he'd say, now, you know, this started last November when our house flooded. That was the beginning of every story he told, and their house did flood in 2019, and that's when his dementia escalated. They moved in with us. We had to have the house totally gutted. They wanted to go back in it, nothing doing. They were going to go back in there. Mom said, I want to die in this house. And Tanya said, well, you're probably going to if you hit that bottom step right there because it's loose. I mean, she would just come right back. And you know, I thought I was doing a good thing, you know, taking care of them. Mom, are you okay? Daddy, are you all right? What can I do for you today? And Tanya would come in and say, now, let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to get your face on, and we're going to get some of that rouge off. You got a little bit too much going. Let's blend you in, you know. And I'd think, what the heck? I'm trying to come in with this Pollyanna look, you know. And then Tanya comes in. This is what we're going to do. And they marched right to her, you know. And I thought, how's that working? But they relate to different people different ways. If mom's upset about something, I'm the one she calls because she knows I'll listen to it. I wouldn't disrespect them for anything in this world. And these books will tell you, if they tell you the story about the house flooding 33 times, listen to it. Just go with it. You can't change the disease, but you can change how you deal with it. And for me, that's been difficult. I want to fix it. I want to make it better. I want to gloss over the ugly. I went to pick Daddy up the other day, and he had shaved half of his face. And okay. Come on, Daddy. We're going to go get us something to eat. Let's go get a milkshake. Does it matter? No. It would to him if he knew better, because he was always dressed to the nines. And smelled like a million bucks. I'll pick up his clothes sometimes and just, and I just bawl my eyes out. I want to go back to when it was safe. I want to go back to where it didn't hurt. That's not fair. That's not life. It's just not life.
How much time have I got, Leon? I'm trying to do really good. 2 minutes? 10? Okay, there was one other thing in here. There are different doctors that treat dementia different ways. And one of the doctors that we had originally wanted to medicate them. And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But then I'm thinking, okay, am I supposed to listen to the doctors? This, again, is where the Holy Spirit comes into you to say, you know, they may have doctored a million people, but they hadn't doctored your mama. They hadn't doctored your daddy. Thanksgiving Day, I went and picked them up. They were wanting to give daddy something for pain. We go to my niece's house for Thanksgiving. Mom's so excited because she wanted to help cook lunch. So I let her cut the lemons in wedges. She was happy as a clam. That's all she wanted to do. She wanted to stir a pot. And she used to do it all. And I told her, I said, Mom, I don't know how you did it. I really don't. I'm trying to throw together turnip greens and sweet potatoes and still get there on time. And it's just, you know. But when we got there, the kids were all playing. Tanya's grandkids were there. Tyra's grandkids were there. They were all little. And they had one of these great big balls. And Daddy was sitting like this in the chair, and he was freezing. And I had bundled him all up in blankets, and he was sitting like this. Well, one of the kids threw the ball and hit him in the head. And he looked up, and it was like everybody froze. And he picked it up, and he said, is this yours? And he threw it back at him. Well, then he starts playing ball. 10 minutes ago, he couldn't walk to the bathroom. Okay, so let's go down that street. Whatever it is, where you see, and you may have to try something 15 times. You know, he tries to tell me a story about something. I'm like, Daddy, are you talking about Micah? No, that other girl. Okay. Does she have blonde hair? I don't think so. Okay, Caitlin? She's real tall? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the next time that might not work. But whatever is safe for them, and you can read their faces. Y'all, it's all in educating yourself. It really is. If you're going to get to the other side of this and not absolutely lose your mind, you got to be in prayer, and you got to be in the Word. And I'll be the first to tell you, there are days that I think, I can't. I just can't. And so many nights I'll lay down just reflecting on the day. Thanksgiving night, I was so thankful. And tears just flowing. Thank you, God, for everything you know I appreciated today. I am truly grateful. I am grateful for whatever it is that I get to hold Daddy's hand or Mama's hand. She's been so sweet to me since the day I found her in the bathroom floor. And that's, I wasn't her favorite. I don't even know how that happened, but I wasn't. But I was Daddy's, so that was okay. But she's been so sweet to me. And that alone is a gift. Things that I used to think were gifts don't even matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care if her pants match her jacket anymore. If she feels good about what she's got on, let's ride. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not anything but grateful. I can't even see. Sorry. Once we do educate ourselves and plug in to your mama, your daddy, your child, your sibling, you unleash a whole new power to make it better. You're not going to fix it. I'm never going to fix it. I am just getting to the place where I can truly pray, Lord, if it's too much, take them home. Because I know it's going to be something fabulous there. No more pain. No more trying to untangle the water in his head. I know where they're going. But the flesh in me wants to hold on to them a little bit longer. I've watched some of you suffer through that. Letting go. I have no idea the depths of your pain. I don't. I do know that this is the price of love. And if it hurts this bad, I've been loved great big. Great big. I'd do anything in the world for them. But I can't fix it. So meanwhile, I'll try to entertain or bring pictures or make sure that they have a turkey from a four-year-old that's got, look like strawberry jam on it with feathers for the, she's thrilled to death. She's thrilled to death with those things. She's thrilled with the pictures. I take pictures of when Mom was younger. Same with Dad. Those things kind of come back and they start talking about those things. And honestly, I've learned some things I had no idea about. And it's like a treasure hunt to take the time to sit and be still, to talk to them, to listen to them. Loud noises upset them. You know, I read the day after Thanksgiving that a lot of chaos can really upset them. And I thought, oops, Mike should have read this yesterday or the day before. But they did really well. And if I take them out, they may see you and recognize you. I took them to Chris's Pizza House one day. I'm not sure that they knew anybody, but I think Mom did. But then later she'll say, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's okay. It's okay. Are you in pain today? Then let's fix it. Let's do something about it. But sometimes pain is just, it shadows something else that's empty. Blow sunshine. Wherever you can blow sunshine, blow sunshine. If it's in a flower, if it's in a picture, we've got a picture thing in their room that we can snap pictures and download it to them. Well, they just live for that. They've pretty much turned off TV. Wheel of Fortune. just plug into what they love. Daddy loves baseball. So we sit and watch baseball. And he'll say, rewind it, let's watch it again. Okay, let's do that. How blessed are we? If you have questions, I will do my best. I am certainly not anybody to answer questions, but do y'all have some comments that maybe something I might have left out? Anybody? Mary? They do. I've heard about those. I really have, and I'll just be honest. Time has not been on my side for that. Thank you. I did talk to some people like that one time that were saying, you know, you will live through this. You may think you're going to take your last breath. And I saw this one right here endlessly. I saw these endlessly taking care of whatever needed taken care of. And it is good. I also work a full-time job, and it is sometimes hard to make all that happen, but you just have to. And
You know, one other thing, I hear people say something about, you know, being crazy or something. They're not crazy. They're not crazy. They have a disease. And I still, my mom just yesterday said, Talisa, somebody died next door to us today. He had the same thing your daddy has. And I've been telling her for a year and a half, this is what's going to take his life. And now with mom, hers is starting to escalate a little bit. You can't undo that. You just got to roll with it, whatever that is. There are so many diseases, and education is the best thing that you can do for yourself to bring you any kind of peace, or just know that you're doing a good job. You're doing okay. You know, when I get frustrated or something, I'm thinking, good night, how many times are they going to call me today? I try to suck it back up and go, don't say that. But daddy will call me, Talisa, I can't find my keys. Okay, dad, well, when I get off from work, I'll come help you look for them. His cell phone's been gone for 4 months. He lost it somewhere, who knows. I can't find my cell phone. And if I walk in, mom will say, Tanya said you took it. I'm like, well, I did not. I brought her some stuff in one of her purses I found one day. And she said, did you just take my purse? No, ma'am, I did not. Well, I reckon you did. It's sitting right there. I said, Mom, I brought you stuff in it. Well, I didn't tell you you could use it. You're welcome. Okay, no worries. Try to laugh in, not at them, but with them. Laugh. If it's funny, it's funny. If it were Lynn doing something like that, I'd be making all kinds of fun of him. And the truth is, I often think it's contagious. I selfishly take care of them really, really well, not only because they have been amazing parents. I hope to teach my children what it's supposed to look like. And if I can do the best I can, that's all I can do. But if you need help, reach out. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. There's not always time for a phone call. There's not always time for a group. Do what you can, though. And just, Heather, I need help. I walked into the church building right after this began. I saw her and just came undone, had to leave. I just needed her. Find somebody you need. Spouses. My husband has been amazing. He has helped me do things I never thought I'd have to ask him to do. Do what you can. Just do what you can. If everybody does a little bit of what they can, and share it with the family. We need each other. We need each other. I love y'all for listening. Thank you.
A little bit. All right. I'm going to be a little louder than her, so I'm going to step away from the mic some. Does anybody have anybody on a prayer list? We've got Mary, what was Mr. McDonald's first name?